they'd heard. We know the king said, hey, you got those spies with you, Rahab? But they didn't repent. We saw that. And it's very possible to be afraid of God, but not have the fear of the Lord. And history's going to close that way, isn't it? Men gnawing on their tongues because of God's judgment, but refusing to repent. And you know people like maybe you. You're afraid. What if God really is Yahweh? Just like we talked about it when we were there. What if this really is true? But you haven't repented. You've stiffened your neck. Don't do it any longer. Don't do it any longer.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our study of the life of Joshua. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, The Battle of Jericho. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Take your Bible and turn to Joshua chapter 6. We're going to get back into the life of Joshua. Today we've had quite a break, and it's on page 165 if you're using the Pew Bible. I hope you brought your own copy. What a privilege to have your own copy of the sacred text. Wow. And every time you open it, we can pray with confidence, speak, O Lord. And so let's do so, Lord. You have spoken, and you do speak. And we ask your Holy Spirit, who penned these words through your human instruments, oh Lord, we invite your Holy Spirit to speak right now to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Battle of Jericho. It's not merely an ancient battle. It's very famous. It's celebrated rightfully. I think just about everybody kind of knows the story. But there's lots of drama to it. My five-year-old granddaughter called yesterday. I was going to say she called me because I picked up, you know, and I didn't know what voice to expect. I just picked up, said hello, and this little voice said, hi, Grandpa. And then I spent about the next 30 seconds trying to skillfully discern just who was talking, whether it was my granddaughter or my grandson. And anyway, it became obvious that she wanted to talk to Grandma, but she was stuck with me. So we had quite a visit, and it was fun to talk with her. And in fact, she asked me what I was doing. I said, well, I'm getting ready to preach tomorrow. She said, really? What are you preaching on? And I said, Joshua and Jericho. And she said, that's my favorite story. And I said, Mom, mine too today. And, you know, we had a great time, but it was interesting that she, it surprised me really. And so later, when I like to tell her stories when she's here, I'll just kind of spin a yarn, you know, but I said, hey, you want me to tell you the story of Joshua or David on the phone? And she said, Joshua, you know. So anyway, she was ready, and I hope you are, to hear about the Battle of Jericho. But I want to underline that we celebrated in song, Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho. You know, and the walls came tumbling down. And but it's more than an ancient battle. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, listen, these things that happened to Israel, from the crossing of the Red Sea, all these things, they happened as examples for us, and they were written down for our admonition, our warning, you can translate it, our admonition, our exhortation. And then over in Romans, we're told the same thing. He says, whatever was written in earlier times, Romans 15, verse 4, was written for our teaching, our instruction. So we can come to this, as we do every time we come to the Bible, looking for instruction for life today from Almighty God. And I hope you come with that emphasis. Now, you know, there's lots of things you can draw, and it's easy to miss the lessons of something like Jericho. And you read what's been said and what is said about it, and part of me as a preacher kind of cringes when I hear what other preachers have said, and I thought, I wonder if I sound that way sometime, because it's so easy to miss the main point, and I think, what is the main point? before we even get into it. Well, when the New Testament mentions it, and the New Testament only mentions this one time, it says, and in fact, if you want to turn there, Hebrews 11, verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho came down after being encircled. And whatever else we learn, and there's lots of lessons, there really is. But whatever else we learn, we want to learn about faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they'd been encircled for 7 days. The power of faith, the victory of faith, the majesty of faith. I think you could title, you know, this Joshua 6, this chapter, any one of those things, and you'd be right on. I mean, but I'm going to say that it seems to me the obedience of faith is the overarching truth here. And, you know, the obedience of faith includes the power, the victory, the majesty, and the discipline, and the many, many other things of faith that we could talk about, and we probably will. But the obedience of faith is a biblical term. Paul, you know, began the book of Romans and closes the book of Romans with that phrase, the obedience of faith. So when we learn about faith, we're not merely learning about some, you know, tangent or side tributary. No, we're talking about one of the main things. And when we look at the obedience of faith, why, this is Romans 1:5. This is Romans 16:26. This is the bookends of the book of Romans, if you will, in one sense. So the obedience of faith, it seems to me it's the overarching theme of Joshua 6. And I know, as I look at Hebrews 11, that it seems to me the whole chapter, I'm just starting into Hebrews 11 downtown and on Wednesdays at the Art Museum when the business people gather. And by the way, if you ever want to join us, come on down, 12:15. But we're going to get into Hebrews 11 and the obedience of faith. Faith is. A good friend of my wife and I, Pam Reeve, wrote that little kind of coffee table book that is sold in so many copies all over the place. Faith is. Faith is. And it's good to think about that and answer that question. Faith is. And Pam did a great job of speaking to that issue. But the scripture, of course, this is one place where the scripture says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And so the 11th chapter of Hebrews underlines, and as I look at it, it seems to me that believers exercise faith. We walk by faith. Believers do faith. Faith, if I were to reduce it down, faith is taking God at His word, and it always issues in obedience. Abel offered to God. Noah built a boat. Abraham went out, left home, acted. Yes, yes, woven into that, and you can't just reduce faith down, you know. And so the tapestry of Hebrews 11 is rich, as is the whole Bible on this subject. And we could say, yeah, by faith we understand that what is seen is not created out of things which are seen, but was created by the power of the Word of God. We understand. And yes, we received, like Sarah, received ability to conceive in her womb by faith. And we receive all blessings from God through faith in Jesus Christ. But still, you think through the chapter, and it comes back to Abraham by faith offered up Isaac. And Isaac and Jacob acted. They did something. They blessed. And you go on through the chapter, and it's that way. So this, when we look at Joshua 6 now, we're not wanting to just merely look at an ancient battle. We want to learn. And we want to learn specifically everything we can. But it seems to me we want to keep in mind that when the New Testament touches on it, it's touching on faith. And I would say the obedience of faith. It's not merely an ancient battle. In fact, this chapter is hardly a battle. Did you notice that? Have you read it? You know, we talk about the Battle of New Orleans, the Battle of Saratoga, the Battle of Moscow, the Battle of Gettysburg, rightfully. But really, we ought to talk probably not about the Battle of Jericho, but the fall of Jericho. There's only 1.5 verses in the whole chapter that mention the battle. Really, just one verse. It's the fall of Jericho. Did Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho? You know, I mean, that's maybe as far as our knowledge goes on it. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. Did he? Well, I'd answer yes and no. In fact, I'd answer it this way, no and yes. Emphasis probably on the no. Now, we've been away for quite a few weeks, so let's just get the setting. Turn back to Joshua 1, because we're looking not merely at this book, but we're looking at this life, this man, Yahshua, Yahweh saves, this man who followed Moses, and there's lots of lessons to learn from his life. Now, it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, what I want to do here is anytime you come into the Bible, it's best to get the setting. So here's the setting. The Lord Yahweh spoke to Joshua, Moses' servant, and said, my servant Moses is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you. Just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. The Lord took this human instrument, Joshua, and said, just like I dealt with Moses, I'll deal with and through you. Verse 16, the people answered Joshua after he told them, saying, all that you've commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, ouch. If you've read the story, actually they performed better than the generation before them, when you read this out. But anyway, just as we obeyed Moses, or should have, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. And we titled this whole series that back in, I won't tell you when we started. Be strong and courageous. Okay? And the people said, we'll follow you, Joshua, just like we did Moses, and we'll do what you say, because they sensed God is with Joshua. God is working and speaking through Joshua. And they just said, only be strong and courageous. We will follow you. Well, chapter 2, they sent spies into Jericho, you remember. And Jericho was a fortress city. They got across the Jordan. Well, they didn't yet in the book. You know, they sent spies across, and they looked at Jericho, and Jericho was a fortress. It had walls. It was the gateway to the promised land. And remember, just glance at chapter 2, because Rahab stood out like a bright light. This immoral woman, this harlot, had heard. And verse 9, she said to the spies, I know that the Lord has given you the land. I know that Yahweh has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. We heard how you got out of Egypt 40 years ago. And when we heard it, verse 11, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For Yahweh, your God. Now they had heard, Jericho had heard, their hearts melted. But she personalizes it. And she says, I know the Lord has given you the land. And she said, now personally, she said, your God, Yahweh, He is God in heaven, above, and on earth beneath. What a great confession of faith. And by the way, she shows up in Hebrews 11, of course, too. We'll see her in chapter 6 of Joshua, too. Well, in chapter 3 and chapter 4, the amazing crossing of the Jordan River, which parallels that act under Moses, the crossing of the Red Sea. And verse 24 of chapter 4, this was done, and they set up a memorial that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. God desires everyone to know that Yahweh is mighty so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Now, it came about when all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard how Yahweh had dried up the waters of the Jordan before the sons of Israel until they'd crossed, their hearts melted. And there was no spirit in them any longer because of the sons of Israel. But we talked about that. They were frightened, but they didn't repent. They knew. Their hearts melted. They kind of lost their spirit. They started closing gates, hovering up into their, but they didn't put their trust in Yahweh. They put their trust, we'll see, in their walls and their gates and their armament, and their hearts melted. Okay, well, chapter 5, we entitled On the West Bank, and we saw that God said right away, I want these people circumcised. They celebrated the Passover as a momentous time. First in the land. They're in the land now. Get circumcised. Celebrate the Passover. The manna ceased. No longer God's miraculous provision. They're in the land of milk and honey now, and they're going to have to work for their food. And that's where we pick it up. Verse 13. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho. And when you get across the Jordan, that's what's next. Jericho. Mighty fortress. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? General Joshua says, you know, he sees a warrior with a sword and he says, who are you for? Are you for us or against us? And he said, no. Rather, I indeed come now as captain of the hosts of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, what has my Lord to say to his servant? And the captain of the Lord's hosts said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. And we saw the parallel. When Moses was called to deliver Israel out of Egypt, God chose a human instrument. God says, I'm going to come down there and do it. Now you go do it, Moses. He worked through a man. And of course, all these men prefigure the man, the deliverer, the one, the Passover. But when he chose Moses to do that, remember, they had to cross the Red Sea, and all that had to happen. And Moses had to learn who the Lord was at the burning bush. He said, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. And now Joshua is told the same thing. And we know who this is. This angel, this commander of the hosts of the Lord. I am that I am, he had said. And Jesus Christ said in John 8, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. You're not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? Before Abraham was born, I am. No, the general, Joshua, meets the general, Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel, and no one went out, and no one came in. In Deuteronomy 20, he said to them, when you go take this land, you warn each city, and you give them a chance to come out. And if they come out, then they can be servants to you. But if they don't, lay siege on their city. I take it that Jericho had been warned. We know they'd heard. We know the king said, hey, are you got those spies with you, Rahab? You know, we know. And their hearts were melted, but they didn't repent. We saw that. And it's very possible to be afraid of God, but not have the fear of the Lord. And history's going to close that way, isn't it? Men gnawing on their tongues because of God's judgment, but refusing to repent, Revelation 16. And you know people like maybe you. You're afraid. What if God really is Yahweh? Just like we talked about it when we were there. What if this really is true? But you haven't repented. You've stiffened your neck. Don't do it any longer. Don't do it any longer. But Jericho, boy, they just shut the gates. Nobody's going out. Nobody's coming in. Nobody put up any white flag. No way. We're going to oppose God's purpose. Rahab knew the Lord. Yahweh has given you this land. It's not ours. It's yours. We know. But they weren't going to do anything but hunker down. And by the way, we'll take some time later on in this because we'll be looking at this conquest of the land for some time as we walk through Joshua's life. And the peoples of this land were satanic. And I don't use that word lightly, but you read God's description in Deuteronomy 18 of what was going on, and you can't use any other word but satanic. You know, you watch the previews to our movies today, and if you haven't been blind, if you haven't been dulled down to where you just, yeah, that's a good one, what's that? Oh, what's that one? You know, like we get after we watch too many of that stuff. But if you really step back, there's an obsession with evil and perversion in our culture. Not every movie, you know, I know. But you know what I'm saying? Well, you read God's assessment of this people and the perversion. Leviticus 18, go read that. Deuteronomy 18 and Leviticus 18. He says, don't you do what those people are doing. The perversion. The land is going to spew them out. ESV says vomit. We worry about pollution, and we probably should. But I'll tell you, God is concerned about the defilement, the pollution, that innocent blood, that perverse sexual perversion, that all the sins that history's been plagued with, that we are by nature prone to, pollute the land. And Jericho is a great picture of this, and we'll look at it. Genesis, God says, I'm going to give them 400 years.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled The Battle of Jericho, a message from chapter 6 of the book of Joshua. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. On the front page of our website, you'll see a link to the Romans Project. We are very excited about the work God is doing through this ministry. We extend an invitation for you to learn more about it. Now with nearly 14,000 pastors involved throughout 19 countries, including Liberia, Sierra Leone, Myanmar, and the Philippines, we've seen tremendous growth since the project's inception in 2005. To learn more, navigate to downtownbible.org or connect with us at facebook.com/Romans Project. Scott Gilchrist also leads a weekly Bible study in Portland, which shares the name of this radio program, Downtown Bible Class. 150 to 250 people meet every Wednesday at the Portland Art Museum for great teaching and a complimentary lunch buffet. A perfect break in the work week and an informal atmosphere where you can bring friends or coworkers and make new connections. Join us from 12:15 to 12:45 every Wednesday. Check us out at downtownbible.org for more information or call us at 503-524-7000. Now, while it's our joy to present this radio program and the resources on our website completely free of charge, we do want to remind you there's a significant cost associated with this ministry. We'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider supporting us financially.
It's through the generous contributions of our listeners that we're able to continue broadcasting on this station. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
You read this again on your own time, and you will notice that the people weren't even told about the walls falling, at least in the record. He just said, here's what I want you to do. And they obeyed. Said, no talking, and don't you shout until the day. He didn't even say the seventh day. He said, until the day that I shout, then you shout. But they understood that the Lord had spoken to a man, and that mediator had God's word for them, and they obeyed.
Join us again next time as we continue our study of the life of Joshua. Pastor Scott continues the message, The Battle of Jericho. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.